Good morning. It's a blessing to be together here. For some reason I'm trembling here, and I just at the little devotional I've got to bring here. Pray that God would give me faith as I share the burden on my heart here this morning. What I'm going to be sharing is I'm just going to be sharing a testimony, more or less, of some of the things that God has been doing in my life here the last 3 months, some of the things He's been showing me. And it's also an exhortation for all of us to rise up and trust God. We 2 weeks ago, Brother Joe Loninger had a short message on lukewarmness. You think that's a danger that we might get into at times? Any time in our life, we might get lukewarm. And then last Sunday, Brother Melvin had a short devotional on losing our first love. And I'm not sure why God is so concerned about us, but I do greatly thank Him and bless Him for being concerned that we get lukewarm, that we fall away from Him, and that we lose our first love. So I'd like to share a few words this morning on faith. Faith. Trusting God, even during COVID-19. Can we do that? We would all say, well, of course, we're going to. But when the leather hits the road, when our shoes, when we walk it out tomorrow morning and Tuesday and Wednesday, are we going to continue to trust in God during circumstances that arise because of COVID-19? You know, we can kind of, shrug our shoulders and it's here, you know, and not worry too much about it. But I think this is, we can say it's a new normal, but I think it's only a prelude to what the new normal might be. And that's persecution. That's rejection. And things like that. A lot worse than what we've ever known it before. And so I'm going to start off on a kind of a different trail this morning. If you would turn to me turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 25 to 28. And these are very familiar verses, but I want to get your mind on this, and my mind on this also. And behold, I'm reading in Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, and you know, why are we here this morning? We want to inherit eternal life, and it's not a one-time deal. It's a continual striving until we're done. So I think it's a good question for us to consider this morning. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Okay, now let's turn to Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 29. And this is completely different, and I'll show you why I'm reading this in a minute. Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 29. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And so for you young people in here, you might not get as much out of this next point I want to make, but please listen in anyhow. So us husbands and us wives, and the wives in here know, or I should say us husbands, when we love our wives, like it's written here, what is our response when someone degrades our wife? Maybe not even to our face, but we hear about it in a roundabout way. It says something about our wife that is less than honorable. And even though it might even be true, but for sure if it's not true, what is our response? What does our heart do? We have a jealous love towards our wife. It doesn't matter really what our wife does. No one has the right to degrade our wife. Because we love her even as we do our own bodies. And that's where I'm at right now with God on COVID-19. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. With everything that is within us. It's going to make us do silly, off-the-wall things because of the love for our God. And I've made some comments in the last 3 months that might have not been pretty. And it might not been all right. I made one at the brothers' meeting the other night. I was very ashamed of myself. But that's what's stirring in my heart is God's integrity is at stake among His own people. How did Job respond when he was tried? Think about it. He stood up for God, regardless of what his three friends said. God was still on the throne in his heart, regardless of what happened to him. So, I'm not defending, and I don't want you all to defend your own ideas or opinions, but let's defend God. Let's defend His Word. You know, like it says here, that He might, Jesus, He's telling us how to love our wives, and He says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And so over the past 3 months, sharing this, continuing to share little bits of testimony, and you all would have beautiful testimonies to share, I'm sure, and I would love to hear them. But there was many questions that came up. You know, okay, so what's going to happen now? What do we do in this case? Oh, how long are we going to have church virtually, you know, instead of getting together? Questions after questions. How my brother's holding out during these times. Pray for them, but I can't talk with them. I don't know. They don't talk to me. I don't know. How are they holding out? Where was I going with that? I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Oh, yes. Okay. Many questions came. And so in the morning when I, thank you, Brother Allen, when I would read in my Bible, I just kept being amazed. Verses that never meant really anything to me, I would skim over them. All at once stood out in big, dark, bold letters. Wow. What is God telling me here? And I'm going to share a few of those verses. As this started happening after about the second week of that, I started making a note. And I'd write down Psalm 33 and so-and-so verse. I'd write down this and I'd write down. And I just kept writing down. I had a whole paper full of notes in about 2 months' time. There were just hardly any notes, just scripture verses. Things that were blessing me and giving me the courage to go on. God is still on the throne. He is still God. We can trust in Him. And so I'm going to share a few of those things with you today. One of those that stood out to me was Mark 8. Verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know, everybody is trying to save their life during COVID-19. We're not just concerned about ours. I know we're concerned about our neighbors too, rightfully so. But as the world is doing it, they're trying to save their lives. But Jesus said, whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, what? For my sake and the gospel's. Because of what the word of God says, the same shall save it. It's not a maybe. It's a promise. That's one of the verses that stood out to me. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. I came across this one morning. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But it's telling us here to examine ourselves and to prove. So how are we going to prove if we hide and we run in fear? I'm not saying anybody did, but that's the way the world is responding. Has there ever been a more... Have any of you ever come across a time before this where it was... where you could walk in faith more clearly than you can today? And I think this, like I said, this is only a prelude of what's coming yet. But we can actually trust in God for, among all these trying circumstances. And we see how it's just ballooning. The COVID-19 is in Allen County and other parts in the country. Some places it's going down. But it's here to stay. Jude 1, verse 3. I'm going to read that verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's not something that's just going to come naturally. And you know what? Today I'm just going to walk by faith. But we should earnestly contend for the faith. And I'm not going to take time to go expound on that, but think about it. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We all know that verse. It's a very familiar verse. But we need to consider it. Do we want to walk pleasing to God? Do we want to be pleasing to Him? It says here, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of who? Of them that diligently seek Him. It's not something that we just do as we get time here and there, but we diligently seek Him every day. Ephesians 6, we were just there a little bit ago. I'm going to read some more. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 6, it says in verse 16 through 18, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So as the fiery darts come at us, and men say, you know, you've got to be careful, you've got to keep your distance, you can't do this, you've got to do that. As those fiery darts come at us, how are we going to withstand those fiery darts? By doing what the world does? In faith, we keep trusting in God. God is still my God. It says, and take the helmet of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that's where I failed in the last 3 months, is praying enough for all saints. We need each other's prayers desperately. Because when I am weak, that's when I can't pray for my weakness a lot of times. That's when I need someone to pray for me. And it's when I'm strong, I can pray, you know, and it's natural. But it's not natural to pray when we're weak. Or that's the way I find it many times. Luke 18. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read a few verses there. Actually, about 8 verses. Luke 18. Verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable, this is Jesus talking, unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And we see people in our day that are doing just that. It's not because of faith, it's because They're strong. They're not afraid of the COVID-19. They're not afraid of this and they're not afraid of that. And they're blindly forging ahead. We need to have wisdom and discernment like Brother Chris shared up here. When he prayed, I think he shared that. So we need to have those things. But here's a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that same city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So this is an exhortation to cry out to God and continue to cry out. And I want to read verse 8 yet. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? If this is a prelude of what's coming, we have no idea. No one, as of last, 8-10 months ago, had any idea that something like this would cover the land, cover the whole earth. So we don't know. There might be things coming that we've never even dreamt about. But it's not. We don't need to be afraid because God is still on the throne. We're still on that rock. But Jesus asked this question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Why is that important? Because it's impossible to please God without faith. That's why. These are all things you know, but this is an exhortation. Anyhow, Isaiah 30. I came across this verse. I hate to share this with you. I honestly do. But I came across this verse one morning, and not this verse, but this chapter I was reading here. And I started crying. I couldn't believe it. What must God think of us? What are we resorting to? We know that Egypt in the Bible is a type of this world. It's this world. I'm going to read verse 1 to 3. In Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that take cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength. They have not asked my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Not in Egypt, just the shadow, just the type. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. There needs not be any confusion here if we're trusting in God and not in the way the world does it. It's not this 6-foot thing that's going to keep us safe. I also realize we need to be to our government, obedient. Yes, obedience to our government. I can't think of the right word there. I'm sorry. Chapter 31. Let's read verse 1 in chapter 31. I was reading here, and here we go again. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots. You know, back then they didn't have airplanes, and didn't have good fast trucks or skid loaders or bobcats. They didn't have any of those things. But here's what they had. So they put their trust in the biggest and fastest things they had. Like, go to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not to the Holy One, unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. So let's not get in that position. Let's turn to Romans 11. I'm going to take you all over the board here, because that's where I went in the last 3 months, reading here in Romans 11. And some of these I was looking at one thing, and it led me to another. And Romans 11, verse 17. Just read a few verses here, 17 to 22. And this is talking about the children of Israel being the root, the stock, the branches, and the Gentiles just grafted on. And we're the Gentiles. We all know that. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root beareth thee. But the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. That's the only thing that's keeping us on that branch. They were broken off because they didn't believe. They knew. They knew it. It's not because they didn't know it, but they didn't believe. They were broken off because of unbelief. So, thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Psalm 46. Where do we flee to? How do we hide? God is our refuge and strength. I'm reading in verse 1. He's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I was going to read more, so God is our refuge and our strength. What is a refuge? A refuge, I just wrote down a part of the definition. There's a lot, but a refuge is a hiding place, a place of safety, or a sanctuary from foes or from danger. And I got that from the Layman's Bible Encyclopedia. It had a long paragraph. I wrote down the first sentence. A hiding place. That's what a refuge is. It's a place of safety. Is that what we need? Safety? Or a sanctuary from foes or from danger. I'm going to read a few more verses there in Psalm 46. 5, verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Talking about Zion, talking about the church. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So if he's our refuge, we have nothing to fear. And imagine my surprise the next morning. I open up in Psalms again to start reading before I go to my regular reading place, like I did the morning before. The morning before, I opened Psalm 46, and I jotted that down. The next morning, I opened up in Psalm 91. I'll never forget that morning. I couldn't believe. What is God telling me? I'm going to start reading in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Where did I read yesterday morning? I looked at that paper, it was Psalm 40. I said, He's my refuge. And this is again telling me, He's my refuge. It's a hiding place. It's a place of safety. He goes on down there. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I was going to read the whole psalm, but I don't have enough time. I'm trying to decide here what. Psalm 9, verse 9. This was about a week later. I came across this one. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4 and read an account there. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35 through 41. Jesus and his disciples are in a ship. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over on the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. This is little ships here. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And is he still the same manner of man today, Lord over all? He said there, How is it that ye have no faith? Okay. So, here's Jesus. We all know he's the master teacher. There's never been any greater teacher than Jesus. This would have been a very good teaching moment for him. He always took all the other teaching moments and used them. So why did he not say, I was asleep. He just got done toiling all day, preaching, teaching, feeding the multitude. Now he's asleep. Why were you not watching the skies? I've told you before, when you see a storm coming, I'm going to teach you this now. When you see a storm coming that has clouds that are in this way, you know that you better head for shore. Do you not know how to handle the masts? The way these masts are made, you could make them a little different. You could make them taller or a little wider, and you could get to shore a lot quicker when the storm arises. Don't be caught out here in the middle. Take safety. Take refuge somewhere, but get out of the water. There's a multitude of things he could have taught them. But what did he teach them? Something much greater. O ye of little faith, trust in God. He is our refuge. In Matthew, it says, Why is it that ye have no faith? In Matthew it says, O ye of little faith. In Luke, the same account, Where is your faith? Is that what he's been asking us the last 3 months? Where is it? Are you trusting? I know a lot of times that's what he would have to tell me. Definition of faith in the Layman's Bible Encyclopedia says something like this. In the Old Testament, it was a lot more accurately rendered as faithfulness. It doesn't talk a whole lot about faith in the Old Testament, but it was faithfulness. They were faithful in the things they did. Indicating firmness, steadfastness, reliability. In the New Testament, it shifts. The emphasis shifts from the reliance on self that we find in the Old Testament to complete reliance on God, trusting only in God. So that's what faith, we could have all kinds of definitions of faith. Hebrews 6 gives the best one, but here's a definition of faith. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I need to get done here. But he's telling us he wants us to think different. He wants us to think, not keep thinking like we have been. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 10. I want to read that verse, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's the weapons that we hold right now, each one of us that has come to the end of ourselves. We hold those weapons. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. We can pull down strongholds with them. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against God. Every high thing that exalteth, I'm reading in verse 5, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not to the obedience of Governor Holcomb. Although we are being, that's not how we bring our thoughts. We don't think like, if we think like the rest of the world does, we're part of the world. Regardless of what we know and what we've done in the past. We can't be thinking that way. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The very next verse says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So even not any man, but also in princes, it's better to trust in the Lord. Don't put confidence in man or princes. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. James 2, verse 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Okay, I'm going to finish up with Psalm 33. That was the first psalm that really blessed me just shortly after this, after the lockdown occurred here in Indiana. Psalm 33. I have, there was a lot of other things here that don't need to be said. But I'm going to read I'm going to start in verse 6. Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Some of these verses, I couldn't believe what I was reading. I'd read this psalm before, but it was before COVID-19. It was before all these things were happening. And it was a beautiful psalm. But it didn't do anything to my heart. This morning, I couldn't believe it. I just kept reading it over and over. And then I made the whole family read it with me then. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. He's not unaware of our trials and what we're going through and what's happening. He knows exactly where that virus is and everything about it. He looketh down from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Here we come again to this, to our might and to the fastness of our and everything. It says a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. I'm going to read verse 20 again. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in him. Because we have trusted in his holy name. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Father in heaven, we know that you are on the throne today, and your might is just as great today as it was 6,000 years ago when you said, let there be light. When you said, let the waters gather together. When you created all living things, you are still God. We can still trust in you. And oh God, I pray this morning you would help me, first of all, and the rest of this congregation to trust in you. We know that we all face different circumstances, and we will face different circumstances in the coming days. Some will be trying, and some will be hard, and some will raise questions, and we'll need wisdom and discernment. We pray, O God, you would grant us these blessings, wisdom and discernment and grace to trust in you and to do the right thing. That your name is glorified in our midst, and that we not degrade your holy, precious name, O God, but that we stand. I think of the word of Jesus when he said, "Whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my heavenly Father. But whosoever denieth me, him will I deny before my Father in heaven." So I pray that you would give us courage to stand firmly, to wait quietly on the Lord, to be still and know that you are God. We pray here for the message as Brother Allen comes up, that you would grant him wisdom, discernment, and boldness, clarity, and a burden to speak your word. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this gathering. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.